Somebody's about to go down in the water in Jesus' name. Somebody's in the middle of walking through the veil and into the Holy of Holies to receive the Holy Ghost tonight. Let's lift up every voice. Let's lift up every heart. Hallelujah. Hey. Oh, we give you praise. We magnify you. We bless your name, oh God. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We magnify you, Jesus. We magnify you, Jesus. We worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. What a good God, and how worthy of all the praise and the honor. Magnify you, Jesus. We bless your name, oh God. It is so excellent to be in God's house on a Sunday night and to know him in spirit and in truth. We appreciate the wonderful word of God in the service this morning, Brother Blash. What a blessing. And good word on Saturday afternoon. And just God is doing so many wonderful things. It's our pleasure, our privilege to be a part of the kingdom of God. We're celebrating a lot of things every time we come together. But tonight, we want to take a look at our newest addition to the church family. Brother Owen Stevenson is at home and thriving and doing well. Big Brother Russell. What a beautiful gift from God, huh? Hallelujah. 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 God is so very good. God is so very good. We're delighted to be in the house of God on a Sunday night with Brother Blash. If you're a guest here, we're going to have a dinner, a fellowship immediately after this service, and we'd like for you to come and join us. Make sure that you do. Unless, you know, I told Jeff and the crew, a move of God notwithstanding, because if the Holy Ghost starts moving, we just follow after it and just do whatever God has in mind. Everybody say amen. But Brother Blash, Sister Blash, we're so glad that you came, and we appreciate you sending our greetings to the Honigs this morning. We got a really nice email back from them, a message from them, and they were very appreciative of you speaking with them, and they're so glad to be a part of this church family, even though they're across the Atlantic and in a different time zone. But it's a wonderful thing to be a part of the kingdom of God. Brother Blash, we love you. We appreciate you. You are a blessing to us and to the church. And tonight we want you to come, and whatever God has on your heart, I want you to share it with us. Everybody say, preach to me, preacher.
Well, God is good. Look at that. Oh, come on. You give God praise for what's going on in the baptistry tank right now. Oh, yes! Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, does it get any better than that? Wow. Wow. Praise God. I wonder what it would look like if we partnered together to take a small group of people and just preach the gospel in Germany for a little while. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful if we just... My wife is on her way to Germany in December, and she'll be there for a few weeks, and we try and go as often as we can, or she'll go if I can't make it with her. And it's always a little bit of a missions trip, but there's a seed being planted from here to there, and I sure would like to do something to water it. Amen. I sure would like to do something to help it just mature watch God do something marvelous with it. Somebody said amen. Amen. So again, thank you, Pastor. Thank you for his family, you leaders, and those who have made this such a wonderful and remarkable, memorable time this weekend for us. You make it easy to be a guest here. And at least three of you have asked us to move, so you're like family almost. So thank God, amen, for this church. And for those that are back in St. Louis, what I'd like for you to do is help me pray for just a moment. I want to borrow the energy and the depth and the power of prayer, and I want to harness it just for a few moments. We need a great revival downtown St. Louis. And then harvest that would follow, burning, brightly burning with a pure apostolic message, which is the only thing that will save our city. That's it. We're at that place. Nothing else is going to work. Would you lift your voice and would you pray for fresh anointing downtown St. Louis? Father, we love you. Pray that you would move upon the body there. That's where revival starts, that you would breathe fresh, God, in places that are dormant. Breathe freshly, God, in places that are dead or dying. Revive it, I pray, oh God. There be a revival, God, of home Bible studies, a revival, God, of prayer, revival of worship, God. Lord, none of these things are lacking in total, but all of them, God, could be revived and stirred. And God, thank you for this church that's adding their prayers to mine. And then, God, push us into the harvest field and let there be a great harvest, oh Lord, I pray. Oh, come on. I believe if you'll pray for St. Louis, God will break something loose here in Birmingham. I believe if you're praying for places around the world, God will break your world free of what gets in the way of revival. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Well, I've got some good news and some bad news. The good news is I have just a couple of points to share with you. It's short. The bad news is I'm never in charge of what happens once I get the mic. I'm messing with you a little bit. Titus chapter number 2, verse number 1 through verse number 8. Titus chapter 2, verse number 1 through verse number 8. Your praise team has done a fantastic job from the very beginning, ushering you into the presence of the Lord. Amen. And would it hurt your feelings if I told you the most exciting thing about this weekend is my wife is here? I mean, yeah, everything else rates close, but that's amen. Amen. The other thing that's unique about this message is the heart of this message. God spoke to me for this church before there was a real connect and a real invite. We may have talked, I don't know, we usually do, futuristic, but this message, at least the core of it, God spoke to me before there was a real invite, and I knew exactly what church it was for. I knew exactly where this message was to be preached, and I've wrestled just a little bit, only a little bit, because ultimately God wins. You just wear yourself out trying to fight with him. As I've asked God to help me best say it to you, but this is for you. This isn't for someone else. I would imagine if someone were to hear this later from another church, it might help or not, but it's for you. It's for this body, for this assembly. It's a phenomenon that's not unique to Pentecost, so again, others will hear it, but I'm telling you, for this time, for this hour, it's for this body. And that's what God said. And so I'm going to do my best to talk to you about the sobriety of battle. The sobriety of battles. Sobriety is a long, fancier word for sober. but it's not really so much talking about not being drunk on alcohol. It's broader than that. It's a certain awareness. It's a certain degree of understanding that can be lost. It's a certain degree of awareness that can be lost. I don't know how you vacation, but many times when we vacation, we kind of let our guards down a little bit. We're just breathing. We're catching our breath. But when we're back in the battleground, we're more alert, right? It's that alertness and that God wants to sharpen that for someone, maybe several people, I believe, tonight. And that's what we're going to be after. I joined the United States Army when I was very young. I was still in high school. I was a junior in high school. I signed into what's called a delayed entry program, required my signature and a parent's signature. I graduated high school very young, and I was in the Army less than 2 weeks after I graduated high school. And I was having fun. I was. I love the training. I love the adventure. Uncle Sam will take you places you never could afford to go by yourself. I was like, yes, initially. But I loved all of it. I soaked it in. I was the kind of person who would read the little manuals, all of them. I would take time to memorize almost all of them. I could disassemble and reassemble any weapon that I'd ever been trained on, blindfolded, and I did it with ease. I practiced and practiced until I was proficient, and I enjoyed it. When I first joined, they allowed us to target practice with live rounds, and they would put silhouettes downrange, 50 feet or 50 yards, 100 yards, and just further downrange. And when I joined, the silhouettes were of Russian soldiers because it was in the 80s, right? Yeah, I know, and it's different today. But we had a lot of fun, and we goofed off. Now, I didn't goof off a lot, but I goofed off a little bit because I was so very young, and they put so much equipment and technology in our hands, and we did all kinds of cool things with that, and we raced our cars, and we did all of that. And although I took training seriously, it was training. It was drills and exercises. When we would go into the woods and we would scrimmage against other groups of people, and we would pretend they were Russians or Cubans or, yeah. But it was pretend, and our gear was the kind of gear that if you laser tagged someone, it was laser kind of, and if you laser tagged someone, it would go off, and it was that. And so there was no harm. No one's ever going to get hurt. You learn, you practice, you drill for the real thing. And the real thing didn't come for many, many, many years later. But when I was deployed to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, there was another kind of sobriety. There was something that set in that was different. There were no little red nozzles on the end of the rifles anymore. All the ammo was live. Everything was live. I remember one incident. I've maybe shared this story once or twice in my life. But I was looking through photographs of one of our bombs that had dropped, and it hit the target. And I saw for the very first time the carnage, the damage that those bombs could do. And none of the jokes seemed as funny after that. I'm not talking about PTSD. I'm talking about sobriety. Just not, being the first one in maybe the chow line just wasn't important, and not a lot of just tickling and poking and prodding and joking. And the longer we were there, the less that happened. There was just this sobriety, this understanding that big explosion you heard last night cost people their lives. And so this is real. This is real. And war tends to do that for you. I want to talk to you about the sobriety of battle. Clearly, I'm not talking about military combat, right? talking about the battle that was just described here earlier, where the weapons of our warfare, they're not carnal, but they're mighty through God. It's a pulling down of strength. I'm talking about that kind of battle. And here's the beautiful thing. You've already been engaging in it. And as I was engaging with you, I watched all variations of combat. And it was all beautiful. It was all beautiful. The Bible says in the book of Titus, chapter number 2 and verse number 1, reading down through verse number 8. But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. Someone said sound doctrine. That the aged men be sober. If you think you fit that category, don't make me give a number. Just you get it. Aged men. Just raise your hand. If there's an aged man around you who didn't raise his hand, just kind of, you know, look at him funny. Y'all know who you are. I don't mean in spirit. I mean in chronological order. If you're over like 45, 50, let's go with 50. You're them. That's you. That's you. The aged men to be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. All right? Aged men, that's you. The aged women likewise. That they be in behavior as becometh holiness. I ain't even going there. Not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers of the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Young men likewise, exhort to be sober-minded. Sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Let me see if I can paraphrase that two ways. If you're over 50, you should be past video games and some silliness, men. It's time for those guys who are 30-something to get the hobbies in check. All right, see, that's too direct for you. All right, never mind. No. I'll preach something lighter. That ladies, we got to guard who you are in Christ, so that your examples and your models cannot come from this world. And whatever pulls you that way, you've got to cut it off. It leads you to a place of intoxication socially, morally, spiritually. And we don't have time, and we can't afford to be intoxicated. Titus 2, chapter number 12. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly. Everyone said soberly. Righteously and godly in this present world. So let me say one last thing, and then we'll pray. Here's a challenge I'm having with you and in my spirit. You all are winning the races. It's the hardest group to preach to. You're not in third place. you're not in second place. As a matter of fact, and I'm talking about as a church, I told this to several of you. There's very few people even keeping up with you in many areas, individually, as families, and as a body. And it's hard to preach to that group that there's more. But I'm going to preach to you anyway that there's more. Three things God said to me. I'm going to say this and we're going to pray. Number one, there's more understanding, there's more authority, and there's more demonstration, but not where you're living. Number two, there's a dance you've never ever danced, but there's also a pain you've never ever felt. And number three, there's a revival that is radical, but you have to be repositioned first. It's a given. Positive, I'm not the first person that said this, but your new building is not the only thing that's new. Anybody believe that? Amen. So let me challenge you for the next 25 minutes. Is that all right? Amen. Half of y'all believe it. Is that all right on this side? Praise God. Lift your voice. Let's pray together. Father, I am so blessed to be amongst this people. God, your spirit is so real here. You can touch it and feel it. God, it's so easy here. God, everything, Lord, flows just the way it ought to flow in this service, God, in this morning service. God, it's so rich here. And yet, God, this church, Father, is being called deeper. And this church, God, is being called further into you, oh God, which tells me, God, that you're building a foundation so that you might build even greater things on it, oh God, for this city, in this city, through this church. I feel the Holy Ghost. Pastor, what city is that family in Germany? Eggendorf. Dagendorf. Very different. Dagendorf. I want you to lift your voice with me one more time. Would you just, let's pray a revival into that place. I know it's not the first time you've done it, but let's pray. God, let there be a stirring. You warm the heart, God, of those Germans and those that are surrounding them. Father, you can find a way to bring a one God message that's powerful and impacting. And God, that'll be something that can be heard there. God, you can wake folks up and give them understanding in their dreams. God, we pray over Dagendorf right now in the name of Jesus. God, I'm so glad that our prayers can reach over the Atlantic. I'm so glad, God, our prayers are not bounded to this building, God, to this city, Lord, but because we're praying not just in the natural, but we're believing, God, that through the supernatural, you will do a great work there, oh God. Stir, God, the fires of heaven in that country, God, starting with that city, and let them see a great and mighty revival. I believe it, God. I believe it, God, and I thank you for it. I thank you for it. I thank you for it. And somebody said, in Jesus' name, you can be seated. I was in a service many years ago, maybe somewhere in mid-2000, maybe 2010, somewhere, I don't remember what it was. But I was in the Dominican Republic. And it was a conference there, and there was an hour plus of worship, and I was hanging with them. The building did not have air conditioning. The building had windows, but, well, places for windows. And I don't know, it was probably 90 degrees, 80 degrees, and it was a little humid, and so it was hot. Everybody was drenched, the water was flowing, and we were having church. The music was just pumping, and I was out there on the dance floor and just having a good time. I'd worship the Lord. I'd dance for a little while. Dance for a little while, lift my hands. I do not speak Spanish, and so I didn't always understand what was being said, but everybody seemed like it was the right word, so I just went with the groove. And I looked up maybe an hour into it, and I was winded. And there was a lady who was probably in her 80s. She could have been older, but she was definitely late 70s, 80s. And she was doing this little trot, just kind of like this. And she had some, you know, she'd been doing that for an hour plus. And I thought, all right, Granny, bring it on. So I got out there and I was doing what she was doing, but maybe twice as fast. And she just kept going and I was tired. So I got it real quick. I thought, you better pace yourself. So I picked up her speed and I was just with it. And she didn't open her eyes hardly at all. And I was just with her. I mean, an hour and 40 minutes or so, I just had nothing left. I had no more juice. The spirit was willing, but the flesh was weak. I mean, my legs felt like they were just going to stop working. It felt like spaghetti, and I couldn't do it. And I was feeling hypoglycemic, and it was bad. And then so I'm just, you know, sweat's coming off, and I'm trembling a little bit, and feel a little bit sick at my stomach, and I need help. So I look up, and I find somebody. I'm like, go find some orange juice or something. Get me back on the dance floor. And I get back out there. And we're at about 2 hours maybe now. And I ain't got no more juice left. I'm going, what's with this woman? As a matter of fact, at one point I said, I don't know what she understood of what I said because I don't think she spoke English. But I thought, they're going to carry one of us out of here tonight. I really didn't think it would be me. And what I noticed was that she was in another place. There is that praise and there is that worship that says, God, I need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. And you convince yourself to worship him or praise him, and you do, and you receive your breakthrough. And then there's that other praise and worship that says, God, I'm doing this because I'm a part of a body, and this is a part of what we do, and this is going to encourage somebody else, God, and Lord, together we're going to break through. But there's yet another level that says what I'm doing right now is not just about me. It's not just about the people in this building who are around me, who are being encouraged, but somewhere in this city, chains are being broken and people's hearts are being moved upon by God. And I can't see it with my eyes, but somehow or another, I understand that it's happening. And when you feel like that, it doesn't matter if the music continues or not. It doesn't matter who's around you. You're going after something altogether different. In that moment in time, you've weaponized your worship. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. Let me give you the scripture to connect this and we'll talk about it. Let's just talk about it. We're going to get to the scripture in a minute. This is just a very quick teaching. It's a quick principle. It's growth and development. It's how we walk in the building. And if you're new, or if you're suffering, Or if you've just been through it and you need to soak it in, you walk in the building different. And really, it's about you. And there are times when that's okay. There are times when that's okay. But once you're healed and once you're better, it shifts. And so early on, God, I need you. Pour into me. Because, God, it's Sunday, and I'm surrounded by friends. But I know on Monday, I'm going to walk out there. God, I know I'm going to face temptations. And so you got to get something for yourself. Nothing wrong with it. As a matter of fact, everybody in this building needs to get a little something for yourself. You need to get to a place where your cup is filled and your cup is running over. That's important. But I'm telling you, there's a shift. There's a shift that happens somewhere along the way. You've done your praying at home, maybe. You've talked to God all week long. And now you're coming in, it's iron. And that iron is going to sharpen other iron. So you've got to have encouragement in your voice. It's not that you just need to hear a good word. You've got a good word to share. And that doesn't come by accident. That means you've been spending some time with God and he's been putting some good stuff in you. And it's enough for you. And it's enough for you to open your mouth and share it with somebody else and everybody. What I'm trying to tell you is some of you got to shift gears because where you've been won't work for where you are, and it certainly won't work for where God wants to take you. That wasn't clear enough. If you don't have a Monday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday relationship with God, you are missing the boat. It's time for you to turn corner because Sunday and Wednesday isn't enough. Not now. Not anymore. You got to grow beyond that, and God is calling you deeper.
Can I just be honest with you about a couple things? Have a seat. I was praying about this message, and I was studying, and I was talking to God, and this isn't good. I'm just telling you what I said. I said, God, no, I can't say that. That's too harsh. I told God that. And I felt bad telling him that because, right? I told him a whole lot of other things that I'm not telling you. And it's because I heard what God said. And what I heard felt harsh. So I started the conversation with him. I said, God, I can't say that. And like two people talking, but we're not looking at each other. I was talking to God, but I wasn't looking at him. It was like that. And so I was like, God, I can't say that. And when I looked at the face of God, if I can say it like that, what I saw was tears. And so God, I said, God, no, I got it wrong. That was not intensity of harshness. That was the intensity of love. But without looking at him, I heard it the same way. And I said, oh God, your love and your passion for this body is amazing to me. It's amazing to me. So that's what I said earlier. I wasn't picking with you. I wasn't being cute. I wasn't just filling the airways. I really meant it. For some of you, it's time to get rid of your video games because that won't do it anymore. I'm telling you, I'm not trying to preach against what is and what ain't. I'm just telling you, God needs your time. Whatever it is that you're spending time on, that can be cut. You got to cut it now. It may not be a sin, but I'm telling you, if it's a weight. Stand with me for a moment. Lift your hands toward heaven, somebody, and shout with a mighty voice of triumph unto the Lord if you believe any of what I'm telling you right now. Oh, do it again unto the Lord God. Father, you're speaking to us. You're speaking to us. and I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. You can be seated. So when you're just new at it, it's about you, and it probably ought to be. That's the way little babies are too, and we don't chastise them about it. It's all about them. Praise God. It should be. But as they grow up, we begin to tell them to be polite and share. And ultimately, the message we tell them is that it's not all about you. So there's a stage when you are talking to God and he's talking to you and he's encouraging, strengthening, and directing you. And because you're empowered by God, you open your mouth and you can strengthen and encourage other people. And that's another level of development. But there's another level after that where your focus is not on you. Your focus is not solely on you. Your focus is not solely here, but somehow or another, you have your ear against the chest of God, and the heartbeat of God is souls. And whatever you're doing in a worship is connected in that moment in time to souls. Why is that important? The Bible says that we ought to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We ought to be connecting and giving God our energy. We ought to be connecting with the Spirit of the Lord. He ought to be imparting into us. He ought to be giving us understanding. There ought to be new revelation. There ought to be something fresh that's coming from the throne of God as you're worshiping Him. But also, if there's any false doctrine lurking around in your cognition, your worship ought to root it out. And so that you're worshiping Him, and you're worshiping Him within the confines of truth. And every time you connect with God, He's bringing you closer to who He is, and you're seeing God clearer. And the more you see Him, you better align your understanding of Him. And we worship Him in that place of spirit and truth. That's important. But as you're worshiping God, and you're touching the heartbeat of God, at some point, souls become so important to you because they're so important to Him, so that at this point now, your praise started out about you because you were having a bad week and you weren't going to let the devil get over on you on your own home turf. That was for somebody. You need to hear that. Not on my own home turf. No. I may have had a bad week, but I'm coming into the house of God where I'm going to get recharged. And so you're getting yours, and there is that place. But at some point, you're like, oh God, my brothers and my sisters, and you're doing that. But at some point in time, you recognize that some of this running and some of this clapping and some of this jumping and some when this travail is about the people on the outside. And so then when you get out of this building and it's Monday, you're empowered by your worship. And now that Spirit of God that was on you when you were in the mode and you were worshiping God, that same Spirit of God now convicts you to begin to open your mouth and tell somebody about God. That lady, that old lady, she was... I should have known. She was Dominican, but as you know, the Dominican Republic is bordering with Haiti and all those places, and many of those places, including the Dominican Republic, are very, very strong in witchcraft. They're very strong in the spiritual. And she was protecting that conference, and she was out there in the name of Jesus giving worship. Her worship was releasing things, and she was pushing back darkness. It wasn't about the building. There was another place, and she was in that place. God in heaven, I saw it tonight, by the way. I saw it tonight. I'll tell you what I said when I saw it. I said, well, God, it's already happening. I don't need to preach it. But clearly He changed that, didn't He? I saw it. But here's the question. I'm just going to cut to the chase. How many in this building has God called you deeper in worship and don't raise your hands, and you have yet to respond to it? I'm talking to you. Don't raise your hands, but listen. If you're in this building and you're like that, we all been there once or twice, three or four times maybe.
I was at a Rush Arbor meeting. I'd never been to one of those. I didn't even know what it was. But turns out it's like a big outside tent meeting. And they had hay everywhere and chairs and a big tent and 20 preachers who all preached. They were supposed to preach like 5-minute sermonettes, and they were all pastors whose pastor wasn't there. So they all preached like 20 minutes, you know. And I was there, and I was in the crowd, and I was not happy. I was upset about something at someone. And my big right toe had an ingrown toenail that I had agitated, and so that was my excuse for not worshiping God. And preachers, most preachers or people that lead service, they will kind of scan the crowd as they're preaching or teaching. You've probably watched me do it tonight. And they'll just kind of oscillate like a fan, and they'll preach or teach over here for a little while, and then they'll fan away, and they'll do that. And so, when you know, I'm apostolic, and I don't want to get called out. And so when the preacher was where I was, I kind of lift my hand up a little bit, and then when he oscillated, I put my hand back down, and I wasn't worshiping God. Some preacher gets up there. I know his name. I'm not going to call it out. He says, "The Lord just spoke to me and said, some of you, you need to crank it up. You can do better than that. You are better than that." What he was saying was, you have a deeper understanding of what your worship is about, but you're not walking in it. What's wrong with you? That's what he was saying. But what really caught my attention was this. He said, your big right toe does not hurt that bad. Well, if it didn't before, it did then. You are a worship God. That was not so much chastisement as God was saying, I need all the worshipers who know how to worship me to really do it. I need you in the fight. If all you know how to do is worship to get your own blessing, do that. But if you know how to worship to encourage somebody else, you ought to be doing that. But if you know how to worship in a way that will break the chains off of your neighbors, you ought to be doing that. And for some of you, it's time to turn the corner. All right, here we go. I'm about 10 minutes out. Hallelujah. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 14 through 19 says this. Now, Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down to him and wept over his face and said, "Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel, the horsemen thereof." And verse number 15, Elisha said to him, "Take bow and arrow." And he took it up to himself. And he took to him bow and arrow. He said to the king of Israel, "Put thine hand upon the bow." And he put his hand upon it. Elijah put his hand upon the king's hand. And he said, "Open the window eastward." And he opened it. Then Elijah said, "Shoot, my God in heaven." Just pause there for a second. Close my eyes during worship. I'm telling you, you can almost hear it. Arrows flying out of here. If you could understand what's happening. As a result of this church, and what your reach is, I'm telling you, God's trying to help you with this. I felt them. You could almost hear them. If we could aim it, if we could adjust it, if somebody could get the understanding that they were firing and not just dancing. Oh, the brother exhorting said it. He called it war, battle. So easy to think that we're battling in here against spirits. It's about out there. Elijah said, "Shoot." He shot.
He said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians and Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. He took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. I don't want to shame the king. I don't want to throw stones at him. Because there are stories like this all throughout the Bible of good people, great men of God, mighty men of God, who've done exploits that most of you won't ever be able to really dream about other than reading their stories, who were in the same place. They simply missed when God was saying, shift. They missed it, and that was all. There was a shift going on here. There was a spiritual dynamic. There was a transference. This is how battles would be won. And there was no understanding of the power of the actions that seemed to only have meaning in the present.
Just clap your hands for just a moment.
Shakalato. God, what if that little bit of clapping, God, was somehow connected to somebody receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost? What if we got a revelation, God, of the power that we possess when we yield our members to you? I'm not clapping because of the beat of the music, and I'm not just clapping because the preacher said to do it. I'm clapping because people in this city need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if my worship can loosen the ground that the seed will ultimately be spread on, then I'm going to worship God in faith and in expectation that is producing good work somewhere else. This is about understanding. This is about understanding. This is not about action. This is not about emotion. This is not about hype. This is about understanding. On its own, by itself, there is nothing work that's going to work with your hand clapping. But when God will bless it and when God will use it, the things that you have come to consider mundane, God uses them to do the miraculous. And it's in your power. It's in your hands. Sometimes most literally. You can be seated.
We were...
have no idea what of the folly, the carnage. Many have no idea about the wounded in basic training. It's a practice. But when war happens, there shall be lives lost. There shall be much destruction and much hurt. Revival is ugly at times. And you have to be prepared for that. You ask for revival. You ask for growth. You ask for souls. Many know not what you ask. But because you have asked me, it is going to happen. I send my servant to prepare you for the real war that's coming. I send my servant to prepare you so that you won't be shocked when there is much harm, there is much carnage, when there are souls that are wounded. It's just like a woman having a baby. It's a great thing to have a baby, but there is much travail, much pain, much suffering at the same time in the midst of it. I'm asking you to be serious. I'm asking you to seek my face. I'm asking you to go further and deeper in God. Don't be afraid. Don't pull back, but allow me to take you to deep places. In your sleep and in your dreams, when you get to a scary place, don't stop. Don't wake yourself up. But go do it. Trust me. Hold my hand. Let me be your father. Let me take you through everything you need to go through, to learn, to understand, to build strength.
Hallelujah. If you're in this building and you feel the need to go deeper in the Lord, would you stand to your feet right now? Come on, would you just stand to your feet right now? Would you lift your hands toward heaven? God, take me deeper. Lord, let me understand that my worship, God, it may not be that I need to worship more. It may that I need be that I need to worship with a deeper understanding. God, it may not be that I need to pray more, but usually it is. But also, God, that I need to pray with a better, a deeper understanding. There's a shift, God. There's a tectonic shift that's happening, God, in the lives of your people, God. And Lord, in this church, God, and that shift, God, brings us deeper into war. And it produces a sobriety that says the weapons of my warfare, I got to learn how to use them, God. I've got to learn how to use. God, when I sing, I plead the blood. I've got to do more than stay on key. I got to do more than stay on beat. I've got to understand that I'm talking about that precious blood, God, that flowed from Calvary, God, which means I'm talking about your stripes, and I'm talking about the piercing of the nails in your hands. I got to understand. Ending. Come on, somebody, you need to take that 5-minute prayer and do another 30 seconds, push it deeper. You need to take that 1-day fast and stretch it another day and go deeper. This is the time now. Come on, somebody, reposition yourself. Reposition yourself. Come on, somebody, make room through your week to touch God. I'm telling you, it's going to take that. And if you've not done that, come to this altar and make a commitment. God, I'm going to commit to you that I'm going to take time during my week to touch you, God. Why? Because there's a sobriety, Father, that's overtaken me about this time and this day in which we live. Which you've planted me. Come on, somebody make a commitment. Come on, make that a war march. Plant your feet. Plant your feet. Plant your feet. Make it a war march. Come on, face the enemy. and you are not smiling when you face him, there's a look of determination on your face that says, I'm going to make it, and I'm going to thrive, and I'm going to take somebody to heaven with me. I'm not hitting my knees in surrender. This is a part of the weapons of our warfare. Sheila Totoro Mosa. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Press past the flesh. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Come on, warriors. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Come on, warriors. Not the strongholds in your mind or in this building, but in this city. I lift my voice on behalf of my city. I moan and I groan on behalf of my city. Somebody cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I pray over the minds of your people. Shadnara toyo la 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 moha. Weaponize that prayer. Weaponize that prayer. In the name of Jesus, we push back darkness. In the name of Jesus, we declare victory and not defeat. In the name of Jesus, we loose you, God, in this building, in this city, in this. Weaponize your prayer. Come on, somebody pray soberly. Somebody pray soberly. What does that mean? You gotta seek the Spirit of the Lord. Let him direct you as you pray soberly, not with thoughts of what's coming next, but sober-minded, which means I'm tapped into the Spirit of God and I'm praying purely what he's putting in me to pray. Oh yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes, God. Oh, God. God, the closer your people get to you, the more they're going to cry out for this city and for lost souls. The closer they get to you, the more they're going to have an understanding, God, that the weapons they're using, Father, are indeed mighty through you. They're impacting souls. They're impacting others. Shiha tata. That's right. That's right. That's right. That's right. Shikalala mosataha. Come on, you know what used to bind you? That same thing is binding other people. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus against it. Pray against it in the name of Jesus. And do some damage to the kingdom of hell in your city now. Come on, let that prayer shift until it's not about you anymore. Let it shift until it's not about your needs anymore. Let it shift until it's not about your church anymore. Let it shift until it's about your city. Come on, young men, be sober-minded. Come on, young ladies, be sober-minded. Come on, older men, be sober-minded. Come on, older ladies, be sober-minded. Lift your heads, look into the heavenlies, and speak directly to it as the Spirit of God leads you. Be sober-minded. Sober-minded. Somebody begin to pray a war prayer. Come on, the devil is not playing laser tag with you. The devil is shooting to kill. Apostolics, you've got to spiritually shoot to kill. The devil is not your friend. This world is not your friend. Sin is not your friend. You've got to do something. I'll get a hold of it. Bind it. Pray against it. Sikolata na na la mosataha. Shito no no ta ya la mosaha. Iko no ro no yo no ro no yataha. Come on, men. Come on, men. Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Pray hard, men. Come on, male warriors. I will, therefore, that men everywhere, lifting up holy hands, would pray everywhere. Lifting up holy hands without wrath, without doubting. Men, pray. In St. Louis, God. Oh, God. Shake that city, God. Shake that city, God, for your glory. Come on, somebody. Begin to intercede on behalf of your city right now. Begin to intercede on behalf of your city right now. If you don't know what to pray, follow the Holy Ghost. He will direct you. Don't stop. Don't stop praying. Don't stop praying. I want to invite a very special group of people to this front area right here where I can have direct access to you. You don't need to stop praying, but I want to invite a special group of people to this area. If you're hurting, you ever had those months, weeks, years where it's one thing happens and then you're not quite over it, and another thing happens, and you're not quite over it, and another thing happens, and you don't doubt God, but you wonder what's going on.
that person, that group. Yeah. You hang in there. You stick in there, but you're hurting. Here's what's happening. God's not trying to kill you. But we tend to dance when we're on the mountaintop. And that's powerful. But if you really want to see power of God, you take somebody who's crushed, and they probably won't have a vibrant dance, but if you catch them, you just get a little worship in them, and it means something. It's so deep. God was saying, I needed you to be here. God is not trying to kill you, to harm you, to make your life miserable, but I needed you to be here in this place right now to feel this depth of my love. How can you feel the depth of God's love if you never go through the difficult suffering and pain of life? If you don't want to go through something like this, don't ask God to grow you. If you don't want to hurt, you don't want to grow. But I'm telling you, apostolics, when you're down on your knees, that is not a sign of weakness. For many of you, it's just the beginning of the power that's about to be unleashed in you. On the other side, rejoice not against me, O my enemies. For when I fall, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I'm coming out of this. I'm coming through this. And when I do, no, Shataha, while I'm yet in it, I will find a way to open my mouth and say, blessed be the Lord God Almighty. If you really want to see hell tremble, you ought to see what's happening up here right now. God, if I've got to praise you through my tears, if I got to praise you on my face, I'm going to do it. When it hurts to the core, oh, Nadia, Nadia, Toya, Mosia. No. Oh, no, lift your hands toward heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Nadia, Toya, La Mosia. God, we're turning the corner right now. We're shifting gears right now. These praisers around me, God, are doing battle. And the result, God, is that souls are drawn to you. Through my tears, I will worship you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I plead your blood, God, because I know how to use that weapon. God, that's not rhetoric. I'm talking about that blood, God, that was shed. God, that paid for my salvation. God, that blood that was shed, God, that God was efficacious for me, that heals my body, that restores my soul.
I plead the blood of God. I plead the blood. I wish you, some of you prayer warriors would pray with me right now. Come on, somebody, you know how to touch him. You know how to touch him. The authority of the Holy Ghost, God, flow through your vessel, God, in a brand new way. It's time to shift gears, God. You got to turn the corner on some things. Come on, folks. Come on, somebody else. Where you at? Shannarato yala mosi. Iso narata yala mosi. God, on the other side of this. But in the meantime, God, I give you praise. I give you praise. Oh, God. Come on, surrender what you need to surrender. Surrender what you need to surrender right now. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. I invoke the name of Jesus. It is the highest name known to man. It's the greatest name spoken by man. I invoke that name of Jesus over this handmaiden right now. Jesus. 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 Yes, God. Yes, God. Shata, yes, God. From the gut, God comes a cry. Shadnarato yolomosa. God, from the gut comes a cry, God, unto you. Let there be healing. Let there be healing, oh God. To be healing, oh God. Shikala tomo siataha. Shila tono rota yala mosa. Irato yomo siataha. Irato, God, I bless my brother Jesus. I bless my brother God. Lord God, give us clarity. Give us clarity, oh God. Give us clarity, oh God. God, give us sobriety. Let us be sober-minded. Sober-minded. Sober-minded, God. Sober-minded, God. Jesus, Jesus, Sharata Noro Mosia, Jesus, Jesus. Come on, somebody help me call that name, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, come on. Shatala Toro Mosi. Come on, there's power in that name. Jesus. Somebody call it with authority. He's residing in you. Act like it. Call it out with authority. Jesus. On behalf of my city, I cry out, Help us, Jesus. I bless your name, Jesus. Right here in this area, would you young men make some fresh commitments? If there is something that can be cut. Now, you've been around me long enough to forget I like to have fun. You're not supposed to walk around being sourpusses, grumpy, not able to laugh. Matter of fact, the Holy Ghost ought to give you joy. But what I'm talking about is something different than that. When we were in combat, there's downtime, but you were always ready, and someone said, there's a problem, and the gear shifted. There was no time to shift slowly because you were already there. You were already there. I'm telling you, where you all are now, if something is stealing 3 or 4 hours of your day, that can be cut out and replaced by opening your mouth and sharing your testimony, then I need you to make a commitment to do that. Or I need you to stop praying for revival, because you're not serious if you're doing both. And now, you got to shift gears. Now, if you don't shift gears now, God is gracious. You're not going to die. But is that the goal, just not to die? You're going to miss a piece of the flow. And I don't want to miss any of it. So if you can make a commitment, How powerful is 5 minutes of prayer? Powerful. A small commitment, a big commitment. If you'll just kind of refresh those commitments, lift your hands with me right now. I'm going to pray over here. Young ladies, you heard that. Make that same commitment right where you are. God, let us be sober-minded. We're going to cut up, God, but we're going to be sober-minded. What that means, God, if we're out and we're having a good time and we look over and see that somebody is paying attention to us, God, we're going to stop what we're doing. We're going to go talk to them, and we're going to invite them to be a part of what we're doing, God. We're not going to sit there in fellowship and allow them to look on us, God, and want to be a part of us, and we not invite them, God. That's what that means, oh Lord. That means when I go to work, God, I'm going to do my job well, God, but I'm going to keep my eyes open. And if somebody there is open and I can talk to them, God, I'm going to talk to them and not walk by them, God, because God, you're calling us to sobriety. Now, right now, right now, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. One last time, all throughout this house, would you lift your hands towards heaven and just glorify God?
Just reach over, lay your hand on somebody there near you. Just continue to pray. Just lay your hand on somebody by you. Just let that Holy Ghost flow. God wants to take you somewhere. God has a plan. God has a vision. Just walk in it. Walk in it. Press into it. Hallelujah. You're fighting, you're warring right now. Israel had to fight for every part of the promise they conquered. God has set a city before you. Praise God. Praise God. Let's give him a little praise. Clap our hands, lift our voices. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, mighty God. Beautiful presence of God. We appreciate so much Brother Blash. He's not in the room right now. Yes, he is. There he is. So rich, so good. We appreciate so much you being faithful to what God said, because we want to hear from God and we want to know what is next. Praise God. If you appreciate the good word tonight, let's clap our hands and give God praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. And in this atmosphere, I know you feel like lingering in this presence. And if you must, if you feel like you can't get away from the altar, we'll do that. But if you could, let's take our fellowship down the hall and down to the gym. There's a sweetness and a goodness in the house tonight. God loves you. God loves what he's doing in you and in your family and in this church family. Praise God.